Get started tonight. We'll open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. The theme to tonight's Bible study is streams in the desert. And got 3 points to this Bible study tonight. If you want to write them down on the back of the prayer list, kind of help you to remember. But the 3 points that we want to discuss tonight are these. Number one is going to be abiding in the desert. Number two, it's going to be thriving in the desert. And number three, it's going to be blossoming in the desert. That's the 3 points to the message tonight on prayer. Abiding in the desert, thriving in the desert, and blossoming in the desert, and how it relates to our prayer life. So Matthew chapter 14, let's pick it up in verse number 15. Matthew 14 and verse number 15. I'll read the scripture, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. The Bible says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study this evening. Speak to our hearts through your word and by the Holy Spirit. Draw us each closer to you. Help us to learn these truths, these lessons, and make application to our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some 3,400 years ago, the Jewish people embarked on what is one of the greatest feats in all of human history. After being enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, they literally walked out of Egypt, taking their first steps in what would become a 40-year journey through the desert, a journey that would lead them to the promised land. And while the journey in and of itself is remarkable in its own right, what makes it more impressive even so is it's all recorded for us, or not all, but much of it is recorded for us in the Bible, and it's filled with examples, it's filled with lessons that they learned along the way that mirror our journey along the way. Because that's what we're on. You get saved, you begin a journey. Amen? It's a journey that we're on. So one day, we'll get to heaven. And what a day that will be. You notice in verse 15, it says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came unto him, saying, 'This is a desert place.'" The whole idea of a desert, is the theme of a desert, is all through the Bible. Everywhere, there's so many examples in the Bible of a desert place. In fact, the title to this night's message, "Streams in the Desert," is found in the book of Isaiah. It's in chapter 35. But the desert place, so much takes place, so many biblical themes. I mean, you think about the life of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so much of what took place in the desert. Listen to what David said when he was thinking back. He's writing in the Psalms, and he was looking back, and he was remembering the Jewish people and their freedom, their liberation from Egypt, and then their 40 years in the wilderness. But listen to what he said about them. "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness?" The word wilderness, by the way, in the Bible is the same word is used for wilderness. It's the same as desert. "How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. And that was one of the issues with the Israelites, wasn't it? For 40 years, they did grieve the Lord quite often, and there are a lot of lessons to be learned in all of that. So the whole idea of Israel and their freedom from bondage, you know, when you and I receive Christ as our Savior, we're freed, liberated, emancipated from the bondage of sin. And it's not to have dominion over us any longer. We're set free. But our life is a journey. And just like so many of the different journeys in the Bible, we can learn from these journeys. It was literally a journey for the Israelites, and along the way, it was spiritually a journey for them. It's the same for you and I. It's a spiritual and literal journey as we go through this life, and we accept Christ as our Savior, and off we go. Now understand this, that God takes everyone that He loves through the desert. Everyone that He loves goes through the desert. You find a theme all throughout the Bible. And part of going through the desert in our lives, number one, it's a cure for our wandering hearts. Because as the hymn writer wrote, we are prone to wander, to get our attention diverted from the things of God. So abiding in the desert and applying to our prayer life, and the whole theme of the desert and the desert taking place. Where does Jesus, let me ask you this question, where does Jesus begin His earthly ministry? Where does He begin His earthly ministry? Who can tell me? Where do you think? Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 4. Ethan has been preaching, on the Sermon on the Mount. But in Matthew chapter 4, before the Sermon on the Mount is ever preached, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Let's read verse 4 out loud together, won't you? Let's begin. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, He begins His earthly ministry, really. After He meets with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But there's Jesus being led of the Spirit. And isn't it interesting? Aaron last week in the Bible study talked about, in our prayer life, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Well, you see in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is led of the Spirit, and His answer is the Word of God. You see that there. And so he's abiding in the desert. How long did Israel abide in the desert? For how many years? Come on, stay with me now. I know it's been hot all week. How many years did Israel abide in the desert? 40 years. How many days does Jesus abide in the desert? 40 days. Boy, isn't that something, huh? Just as a reminder. And He's tempted there. Now, when we think of a desert, and nobody likes the desert, really. But here's the reality. God's going to bring you through the desert. And it's in the desert place where at times in our lives where hope and reality, and then there's no hope or there's unrealistic expectations. I did a whole lesson on prayer lesson on in our prayer life. Sometimes we can have unrealistic expectations. Two fellowship meetings ago, I preached that message. The last fellowship meeting that I was at, one of the preachers came up to me and said, you know, that point that you made about unrealistic expectations sometimes in our prayer life was a real help to me because he has a particular person in his church that has some unrealistic expectations, and he was able to just talk with him about that. So praise the Lord for that. But the desert place, there's this kind of a given, a take of realistic expectations, unrealistic expectations, our hope, and And what can our desert be? Here, of course, we're talking in the Bible about a literal desert in the Israelites' lives. We're talking about Jesus being taken to a literal desert where he's tempted. But sometimes the desert for us, it could be maybe a wayward child that we're challenged. We're just challenged because a child that we have isn't following or walking with the Lord. And it can become a desert experience for us, especially as we pray for that child and pray for that child and pray for that child. And sometimes we're just waiting on God's results. We're hoping for that. But it's a desert experience. Maybe at work, you might have a difficult boss. And that person or difficult co-workers that drain you. It becomes a desert experience. It can rob you of the joy of the Lord. Unfulfilled expectations in your life. Or an unbelieving spouse. Or some type of physical limitations or physical illness. Some type of financial or emotional setbacks in our lives. It could be grief that takes place, the loss of a loved one. But these are different things in our lives that are desert experiences. And mark it down, just as Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, Satan will come during these desert experiences and Satan will try to tempt us. And real quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in Matthew chapter 4 because I want to get back to 14. But real quickly, with regards to the temptations, look at temptation number 1 in verse 3. He says to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Really what he's saying is, wait a minute, how much can your heavenly Father really care for you? He's led you into the wilderness. And really, why don't you just take matters into your own hands and just turn these stones into bread? You have the ability to do that. And sometimes when we're going through a wilderness experience in our lives or a desert experience, we just want to take matters into our own hands. We don't want to wait on the Lord. And then quickly, the second temptation that we have here. It says in verse number 5, look what it says. "Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and setteth them on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto them, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." So Jesus, you believe the scriptures, because that's what Jesus said. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay. Well, if you believe the scriptures, then just go ahead and jump, because God said he would save you. By the way, this is another message for another time, but Satan omits some words from scripture here. He omits out of Psalm 91 the words, "In all thy ways." So when he quotes scripture here, and by the way, Satan knows scripture better than any of us, but he takes that scripture and he omits some words out of it, and we're reminded, again, Aaron reminded us this in last week's Bible study as well, that we combined the leading of the Holy Spirit with the leading of God's Word. The two of them dove together. God's Spirit would never ask you or I to do anything that was contrary to God's Word. And Jesus said, "You shall not tempt the Lord thy God." When you and I do things or put ourselves in positions that are unscriptural positions, and then we're asking God to help us, we're really tempting the Lord God. And then real quickly, and by the way, that'll happen in a desert experience. We'll try to figure out a way to deal with whatever the desert experience is that we're going through, and in our prayer life, instead of waiting upon the Lord, we then take that situation and those circumstances, and again, we try to make it all happen. And then the third temptation, he offers them the kingdom of the world. Well, Jesus had already been offered the kingdoms of the world by his heavenly Father. But Satan wants him to take a shortcut. Just bow down to me once, and all of this can be yours. Well, God, the Father had already made that promise. The difference is Jesus knew he was going to have to suffer and die on the cross in order for that to be fulfilled. But these are all things that what Satan is saying, listen, I can give you a shortcut to what eventually you'd been promised. There are no shortcuts. And so we learn that way to abide in the desert. We abide in the desert. Now go back to chapter number 14. Sometimes our unanswered prayers, it's even more difficult when we know what the promises of God are. We say, well, how come God's not answering that? We've talked about that in a few other lessons on the Bible and on prayer. Sometimes God is silent purposefully. But notice this now, again, in chapter 14. Look at verse 15. So again, so it's evening. The disciples, they're all gathered together. There's a huge amount of people. There's well over 5,000. There's 5,000 men, and the Scriptures tell us there are not only men there, there are women there, and there are children there. So let's just make an assumption that if only half of the 5,000 men had their wives with them, that's another 2,500. And let's say children, there's probably over 10,000 people here. That's a huge crowd. And it's the end of the day. And the disciples look around and they say, listen, this is a desert. You know, there's nothing to eat here. Well, look what Jesus says here. So he says, Jesus. So they say, we need to leave the desert. Well, look at verse number 16. Jesus says they don't need to leave the desert. They don't need to depart. Listen, there are times that God, in our prayer life, in our personal lives, has us walking through a desert. It is just our old nature that wants to just leave the desert. But that's not God's purpose for our lives sometimes. They don't need to leave the desert, Jesus says. What do you mean they don't need to leave the desert? There's nothing to eat here. There's nothing to eat, they said. Let them go back to the villages. Let them go get victuals. They need not to depart. Give ye them to eat, Jesus said. Nobody really likes to stay in the desert. It's not a place that people are really comfortable with. It's an uncomfortable place. Departing is just what our flesh desires. But we need to learn to thrive in the desert. Amen? Thriving in the desert. Let me give you an example of someone that found themselves in the desert, but they wanted to leave the desert. Abraham. At this point, Abraham's name is Abram. And Abram had been promised that he would be, and that he would be the father of a great nation. What does Abram do? Abram, of course, has no children. So Abram, he tries to take matters into his own hands. You want to read the whole account? It's in Genesis 15. Abram says, well, how about Eleazar? I don't have any offspring, Abram says. What wilt thou give me? See, I go childless, Abram says. But the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. So Abram's trying to take matters into his own hands. I'll make Eleazar since I don't have any of my own children, God, let's make him heir to. God says, no, 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 no. And right after that, God says, look at the stars in heaven, the multitudes. That's a picture, really, of what's going to happen in your life. But do you understand what Abram was doing? He was trying to do sometimes what we're doing. He's in a desert part of his life. God doesn't seem to be answering his prayer. It seems to be a dry and thirsty place. And he wants to take matters into his own hands. He needed to learn to wait on the Lord. Did his wife do the same thing? Who can tell me? Did Sarah do the same thing? What did Sarah do? Somebody tell me. Sarah did not exactly the same thing, but she tried to take matters into her own hands as well. What did she do? Yeah, she said, well, Abram, take the handmaid Hagar, have a child with her, then we'll have offspring. So do you understand what's happening there? That wasn't God's plan. But that's what happens when we're in the desert sometimes. We try to take matters into our own hands. And then from that was Ishmael, and we know the history after that. But faith is not only learning to abide in the desert, and sometimes our prayer life, it may seem like a desert, it's learning to thrive in the desert. Listen to Psalm 63:1. This is a psalm of David when he's in the wilderness. And you want to talk about a desert? Let me give you this quick question. Most of you know it. Make sure you're still with me. Which of David's sons rebelled against him and tried to steal the kingdom from him? What was his name? Yeah, Absalom. So now David is he's running for his life. And he's out in the desert. And talk about a desert experience. His own son, whom he loved, whom he promoted, is trying to steal the kingdom from him. Has lied to his father, deceived his father, rebelled. David says this, "Oh God," listen to what he says, "Thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." We're talking about prayer. There's David, literally in the desert, emotionally in the desert. And what does he do? He says at this particular time, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." I like what Spurgeon said about that. He said this, "There was a desert all around David, but there was no desert in his heart." No desert in his heart. So what happens here back in Matthew chapter 14? So there they are. They're out in the desert in verse 15. The disciples say, "Listen, this is a desert. We need to get out of here." Jesus says, "They don't need to go. They don't need to depart. Give you them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I've always thought that's the irony. They're out in the desert and what do they have to eat? Fishes. You don't find too many fishes in the desert, but they're finding fish. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass, took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, and now he's teaching the disciples, this is how you thrive while you're abiding in the desert. He looked up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. The emphasis is on prayer. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 121:1. David said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord." The Lord. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's how we learn to thrive. Sometimes we're going through the desert. We're just abiding. We're getting by. Whatever that experience is. But we learn to thrive as we take what we have and what God has given us. And we take that and we look to God. And just as Jesus, he looks to heaven, he blesses what he has, he breaks the loaves, he gives it to the disciples give it to the multitude, and in verse 20, they all ate. So we've gone from abiding to thriving, and now the blossoming of all of this. They say when the desert gets rain, in the bed of the desert, underneath the dry and parched land, are multitudes of seeds. And sometimes in the southwest, they get unexpected rain and the deserts will bloom. And they say that they're absolutely beautiful when they bloom. But here now are all these folks. They're hungry. They're out in the desert. And it says they all did eat and they were filled. They were filled. It's the great blossoming of the desert. They didn't have to leave the desert. They were still in the desert. But they're now filled. And not only are they filled right then and there, but the baskets, you're talking about when Jesus said later on in the Gospel of John, he would say, "I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly," John chapter 10. Well, that's what happens here. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. So that's why I said it's probably over 10,000 people here. And they're all filled. The baskets are still full. There's more than enough. And yet, just a few verses earlier, the disciples said, we need to send them out of the desert. The blessing was in the desert. It wasn't back home. It wasn't in the towns. It was right there. And that's how God works. We learn to abide in the desert times of our lives, whatever that might be. We learn to thrive, and that's really the exercising of our faith. Faith learning to thrive in the desert. And then we watch as all of this begins to bloom in our lives, and we see God manifest Himself in what we sometimes think can be some of the most difficult situations in our lives. In fact, real quickly, take your Bibles and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 records the very next day. John chapter 6, and then I'm done. Almost done. Coming in for, I'm circling the airport, getting ready to come in for a landing. John chapter 6. So John chapter 6 records the same situation, the same event. But now look what happens. Pick it up in verse 25. So the next day he's crossed over, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. It reminds us of that. They were filled, but they were not filled spiritually the day before. They were just filled physically. They had missed out on the great blessing of faith. And Jesus teaches them, listen, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who sent him, whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers, they said, did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said then, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know what Jesus is teaching them? Listen, the bread that they, and we can go, chapter 6 is a lot to chapter 6, but the bread that your fathers had in the wilderness, you ate that bread and you died. The bread that I've come to give you is the bread of eternal life. But it's not only the bread of eternal life, it's the bread of abundant life as well. Because now we have the Spirit of God that dwelleth in us and that walks with us and teaches us and guides us and is there to help us to abide in the desert and to thrive in the desert. And then the blossoming of our answered prayer life. God sometimes just wants us to stay right there in the desert. Amen? Actually, let me finish with this because this is really beautiful. Go to chapter 35 of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 35 of the book of Isaiah is a chapter, I'm not going to say much about it, but it's a beautiful chapter. It is about the return of Israel, but it's also about the kingdom that's going to come. And we'll finish with this. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. By the way, the chapter before is a very dark chapter. But he goes on and he says, and blossom, the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Just stop there. What a beautiful chapter. This world that we live in many times can feel like a desert place. Amen? Well, there's coming a day that the desert again will blossom. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus will come and He will rule and He will reign. But you and I are on our journey. Just learn to abide sometimes in the desert. Learn to thrive. And let God, through our answered prayer life, just blossom into our lives these truths and make application to our lives. That's my Bible study for tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for being our protector and our provider. Help us to learn more about You, to live for You, to love You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And help us, Lord, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death at times, that we would remember that You walk through it with us. You promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. The promises of Your word are ours. We ask this now in Jesus' name and Your blessings on our prayer time. Amen.